Welcome to the Umay Ratzon's Fila audio series with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhaft, and today we are learning about the Avoda in Musaf on Yom Kippur. The Avoda, literally service, is a rather lengthy and detailed recounting of the Yom Kippur ceremony in the Beit HaMikdash, whose highlight was the Kohen Gadol, high priest entry, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies. It is an essential element of the Musaf service on Yom Kippur. It is ironic, as the Mayam Lo has noted, that many people doze off during the recital of the Avoda. They don't realize that the most important part of Yom Kippur is during the repetition of the Shemona Esrei when the Seder Avoda is recited. After the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the cessation of the Korbanot sacrifices, the question was, how could the people achieve atonement? The rabbis ruled that in this emergency situation, one could perform the temple duties by reading about them, since the utterance of a person's lips is equivalent to the actual performance of the ritual. As Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, the prayers were instituted to replace the daily sacrifices. This is based on the pasuk in Hosea chapter 14, verse 3, "Uneshama parim svasenu." We render, instead of bullocks, the offering of our lips. I would like to focus on the Seir L'Azazel ceremony, the ritual of the two goats, one offered as a sacrifice, the other sent away into the desert to Azazel. Azazel can be explained in many ways, the simplest of which is the goat Ez that was sent away, Azal. Hence the English word scapegoat, coined by William Tyndale in his 1530 English translation of the Bible. Thank you, Rabbi Sachs. The two goats were chosen to be as similar as possible to one another in size, price, and appearance. They were brought before the Kohen Gadol. Lots were drawn, one bearing the words to the Lord, the other to Azazel. The one on which the lot to the Lord fell was offered as a sacrifice. Over the other, the high priest confessed the sins of the nation, and it was then taken away into the desert hills outside Jerusalem, where it plunged to its death. Tradition tells us that a red thread would be attached to its horns, half of which was removed before the animal was sent away. If the rite had been effective, the red thread would turn to white. The scapegoat is a very unique sacrifice. All other sacrifices require slaughter and blood sprinkling, which is the fulfillment of the sacrifice and reflects the presence of atonement. Normally, confession was made over the animal to be offered as a sacrifice. In this case, confession was made over the goat not offered as a sacrifice. The Gemara in Yoma 67b lists 5 examples of a chok, a mitzvah for which we do not have a rational explanation. One example on this list is shatnez, wearing garments that are made from diverse kinds of materials, such as wool and linen. The scapegoat ritual is also on the list. This passage in the Gemara concludes that one should not regard these mitzvot as an exercise in nonsense, since they were commanded by Hashem in his infinite wisdom. Thus, one can simply opt out of trying to discover meaning in the Seir L'Azazel, since it's a chok. We, however, are going to try to find some meaning of the ceremony. Ramban's first explanation is based on a midrash in Breishit Rabbah, which identifies the Seir with Esav. After all, Esav is identified in the Chumash as an Ish Sa'ir, a hairy man, and his people eventually merged with the nation of Sa'ir. The Midrash continues by interpreting Vayikra Perek 16, Pasuk 22, V'nasa ha-Sa'ir alav et kol avonotam el eretz gzerah, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities to a land which is cut off, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. It translates the word avonotam, their sins, as avonot tam, the sins of the simple one, a clear reference to Yaakov. The Midrash is apparently suggesting that an understanding of Yaakov and Esav is at the core of the process of the scapegoat, yet what the exact connection is left unclear. Rabbi Tzvi Grumitz suggests that when we look at the story of Yaakov and Esav, we notice that Yaakov succeeded initially in receiving his father's blessing by mimicking Esav, or perhaps in becoming Esav. In donning the goatskin clothes, notice goat, Seir, he took on the very attributes that had been identified with his older brother. Yaakov, the Tam, or smooth one, became hairy like Esav. It was through this act of deception that he initially got the blessing, and that act of deception is the Avon Tam, the sin of the smooth one. Anything positive emerging from that act of deception must be seen as an ill-gotten gain and must be disposed of before genuine blessing can be earned. The process of atonement for the Jewish people on Yom Kippur demands that we remove anything gained through deception as an integral aspect of earning true atonement and blessing. Toward that end, we take the Seir, representing Yaakov's posing as Esav and all that was profited from that, and send it away to a desolate place, signifying that we are prepared to give up the benefits of deception. The Ibn Ezra wrote, the true reason for the Seir la'Azazel, goat designated for Azazel, is a sod, a secret. Then he cryptically writes that the explanation will be revealed in 33. The Dat Zakenim explains that what Ibn Ezra meant was that when we count the next 33 psukim in the Torah, we arrive at Vayikra, Perek 17, Pasuk 7. The Pasuk states, they should no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the Seirim, the satyrs, that lead them astray. Rashi explains the word Seirim to mean Shedim, the demons. The Torah will explain that the procedure described here is meant to teach us not to sacrifice to satanic forces in the universe anymore. These satanic forces are symbolized by the scapegoat. Whereas the first male goat is offered to Hashem as a burnt offering, the second one is symbolically offered to the satanic forces, the complete destruction of that animal, pointing at the uselessness of idolatry. The two words la'az, azel, it went to waste, this destruction symbolizes this concept. The second opinion of the Ramban gives an explanation of the Seir la'Azazel, which is almost exactly the opposite of the explanation of the Dat Zakenim. The Ramban agrees that there is a connection between the commandment of Seir la'Azazel and the prohibition of bringing sacrifices to demons. But unlike the Dat Zakenim, he holds that this commandment is an exception to the prohibition. Ramban explained the service of the scapegoat based on a midrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. The midrash says that Bnei Israel gave Samael, their prosecuting angel, a bribe on Yom Kippur. This bribe is the sacrificial scapegoat. It is given so that he should not annul their sacrifices. The scapegoat has all the sins of the children of Israel on its head, as set out in the psukim in the Torah. The midrash continues, as a result, Samael will see that there is no sin on Yom Kippur and will explain before Hashem, Creator of the world, there is one nation in this world which is similar to the angels. Just like the angels are barefooted, so too on this day the Jews are barefooted. Samael makes similar observations when addressing Hashem with respect to eating, drinking, standing all day, making peace amongst themselves, and being free of sin. In all these activities, Jewish people on Yom Kippur are comparable to angels. Hashem, upon hearing these testimonies from the prosecutor Samael, makes atonement for the altar, the sanctuary, the Kohanim, and for all the people of the nation of Israel. The Ramban clarifies that this was not chas v'shalom, a sacrifice to Esav's angel, but rather a fulfillment of Hashem's will. He gives the mashal, parable, of someone who is hosting a nobleman, and at the nobleman's request, invites the nobleman's servant to the meal. This action honors the nobleman, not the servant. We offer a bribe to Samael because Hashem commanded us to, so it is not an honor to Samael, but rather to Hashem. The Seir la'Azazel would appear to be one of the main points of the Yom Kippur service, yet it itself seems to have no inherent significance. Furthermore, if the reason is either to show us the worthlessness of idolatry or to honor Hashem, why do we tie a red string to the goat? The whole process seems to have nothing to do with our sins being forgiven. We can suggest that these two interpretations of the mitzvah represent two aspects of our service to God on Yom Kippur. The first is that of established prayer. The second is that of spontaneous pleading, where we implore Hashem from the bottom of our hearts to have mercy on us. Both are necessary for our tefillot, prayers. Either one cannot succeed without the other. The commandments regarding Yom Kippur are found in Parshat Achremot, which starts off by relating the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's two eldest sons. One way of understanding the sin of Nadav and Avihu is that it resulted from an unrestricted love for Hashem. They offered up the incense in a spontaneous moment of ecstasy. and were punished by Hashem because their service was missing the key component of Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven. Both fear and love of God are necessary to connect to Hashem. These two interpretations of the Da'at Zakenim and the Ramban correspond to the two fundamentals of Avodat Hashem. The opinion of the Da'at Zakenim represents Yirat Hashem, which is caused by the understanding that God and nobody else runs the world. This is symbolized by our throwing the goat over the cliff, showing that all idolatrous forces are worthless. The opinion of the Ramban, however, corresponds to Avat Hashem, loving God and doing what he wants. We symbolize this by giving the bribe to Samael, as Hashem commanded us to, even though we do not understand it. Thus, the Sa'ir La'azazel represents the two components of Yom Kippur, Yirat Hashem and Avat Hashem. With this in mind, we can also understand the reason why we tie the red string around the goat's horns. The Torah is telling us that we can only be forgiven if we incorporate both a spontaneous and established prayer into our Avodah of Yom Kippur. May we all stay awake during the recitation of the Avodah and achieve both Yirat Hashem and Avat Hashem in our tefillot. Thank you for learning together. This series has been dedicated by Yitzchak and Barbara Lehman Siegel and family in memory of our beloved mother, Rose Siegel Sara Rosa Bat Raphael, and her beloved sister, Celia Feierstein, Sarah Bat Raphael of Baltimore, Maryland. Please visit ou.org/women/yr for a list of our daily sponsors.